Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. President Beta, Murder Master Music Show. It's that kid here, Nilla. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This right here is where the real rap at.
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Aldo.
What up, y'all?
This is Keyshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Check out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show right here at blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. We play nothing but the hardest gangster shit from around the globe. Plus, we interview legends and pioneers of this motherfucking rap game. Call a number at 714-409-0548. Ain't nobody else paying homage to legends like we are. Fuck the lame stream, bitch.
Yeah, what's up? This is your special guest, host Swoop, the UGS shit, you know, that fuck the Illuminati shit, Murder Master Radio. But, man, last show, episode 24, we got the interview prayers. We didn't really get that much of an interview in, just maybe about 10 minutes. And after the show was over, I was like, man, we need to really get a good interview for me, man, to... you know, get in to see how he started and where it took him and everything like that. So we decided let's go ahead and do one last show while we still got a little bit of time to do it. And here we are, episode 25. I hope y'all motherfuckers got your blunts lit. Hope you got your pills popped, your drink cracked, because it's going to be an interesting-ass interview if he gives us everything I know he can. So let's go ahead and cut to the motherfucking interview and bring him on the air. Mr. Prayers, what's up?
Hey, it's weird being on a show hosted by Swoop because I didn't know they let you out, man.
Yeah, they normally don't let me out.
Well, I'm glad to see you're free. For those of you who don't know, Swoop has been locked up in an insane asylum. He likes the elderly. But no, that's a different story. What's up, brother?
What's up? Man, always on one.
Always. You got to be. That's how life keeps moving forward, I guess.
Yeah, keeps it interesting for real. But yeah, man, the last interview we did with you, I thought it was too short, man. It wasn't as in-depth as I would have liked it to be. Yeah, I thought you was too short. You look like too short.
What album am I on, like 53 or some shit?
Yeah, same album as your age.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that motherfucker is got to be about 53. Jesus Christ. Todd Shaw.
It's crazy. It's been a long time. I listened to Too Short as a kid. But, man, how did you get started? How did you become a journalist? When did you know you wanted to become a journalist?
I never did. I never knew. It actually started in the great state of Kentucky, of all places. Shout out to all my people in Kentucky. But I just went to a liquor store down in Paducah, and I saw on the sign, we sell rap CDs. I was like, okay. As soon as we crossed the bridge, you know that big-ass bridge over in Metropolis,
yeah,
which leads from Illinois to Kentucky. Yeah.
Now, was you driving or did you get a ride over there? How old were you?
I was driving. I was about 18 at the time.
Okay.
Maybe 17. Wait, no, it was 95. So I was born in 78, so you do the math. I can't even fucking add that much tonight. But whatever the case was.
You saw the store selling rap CDs.
Yeah, I went in there and I hit it off with the owner. The owner was this dude. He was an older cat named LG. And he had two sons, Tim and Keith. They also had a club called the Brick House. But anyway, on the front counter, they had this big-ass fucking, it looked like a goddamn newspaper, Time Life magazine, you know. And they had Master P. He was, like, kneeling down. People who know Murder Dog will remember this cover. First time he was on the cover. And it said Murder Dog. And I looked at the cover, and I saw all these names, like Al Capone and 3-6 Mafia and you know, J.D. Walker, and I was like, Jesus Christ, these are all the motherfuckers I listen to, because I never listened to mainstream. Well, at the time, mainstream was like Spice One or something, you know, but...
Yeah.
But I fucked with the underground real heavy. You know, I promoted in the underground, and I was like, this has got to be the magazine for me, and, you know, I cop one, and I leave the store, and I remember reading that thing front to back like 5 times. I was just shocked, because it's like, If at the time you had the Source or Rap Pages or whatever the fuck was out, all you saw was the mainstream shit, like the mainstream shit. Like you didn't see Master P or J.D. Walker from Chicago. You saw fucking Biggie Smalls and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
and
Tupac's.
And yeah, you know, so I saw the number on there and I called up and there was this lady, Mary Downs. She's the... happens to be like the editor, and she would always answer the phone. And I'm thinking, this broad can't be running this fucking magazine, you know. And I bugged the shit out of
her. So what was the main reason you called for to actually write, or what did you want to do, promote?
No, I fucking just wanted to bug this shit out of them. And first off, I think I called them. I was real fucked up, and I called them up, and I wanted to talk shit to them. Like, man, this magazine's the fucking shit. And, you know, I was on one, man, like I am tonight, you know. I was just calling them up and shit, and I was surprised that this broad, you know, Mary's going to be like, man, he keeps calling me a broad, what the fuck, But after a while, I just kept calling them and bugging the shit out of them. And they used to have this thing in Murder Dog called Letters to the Editor. And I remember him saying, what would be your ultimate rap mixtape? And I sent in a letter. It was like, I had the Dayton family on there. I had fucking, you know, Jaco James, all kinds of different, SIBO, of course, you know, X-Rated, all kinds of different underground fucking G-shit. Isham, and I submitted it, and they printed it, and I was like, what the fuck? So I had to call them and thank them. And next thing I know, she's like, hey, do you want to sell Murder Dog for us? And I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll sell it. And she's like, all right, I'm going to put you on the phone with this guy. And then on the phone comes this Indian-sounded dude. He's like, oh, hey, this is Eric, which later I come to find out is Black Dog. This is the actual fucking owner. This is the man that does it all over there.
Man, yeah.
He's like, you want to sell Murder Dog for me? That's how he talks. It's a bad Indian impression. Sorry, all my Indian comrades. Fucking, I called Dell Tech Support and Verizon so much you'd think I'd have their voice down pat perfectly, but that was bad. Fuck it, I don't give a shit. But, you know, he's like, I'm going to send you some Murder Dogs. And I'm like, all right. All right, send me these motherfuckers. And I get a fucking... I'm thinking he's going to send me a box of them. I see a semi-truck. I'd already moved down here to Southern Illinois from Chicago, so I see a semi-truck pull in front of the house. And this guy comes up with a clipboard, and he's like, hey, I got a bunch of boxes. Where do I mean to dump them? I didn't even know what the fuck they were, man. I was like, just put them in the driveway. And he started lining up these boxes. You know, I was watching them. Before you know it, they started, like, going up my entire driveway and shit. There's, like, fucking 30 of these things, and each box had, like, 50 of these magazines. So the only thing I knew what to do was just start throwing them in the trunk, put a bunch of them in my garage, and then I was like, all right, now it's time to go hit the streets. And I started hitting the streets, man. And, you know, my boy Big E, I don't know if he's on the line tonight. He'll tell you I took that motherfucker with me. We slanged the motherfuckers like it was crack. Gave them away. Mainly gave them away, but I sold them. I'd always like to hit the bus stop in Mount Vernon. I'd hit the bus stop, and as soon as I see cats getting off the bus, Man, I go up to a man, a lot of motherfuckers would be sparking up a blunt and shit. You know, I'd hit the blunt with the man and give him the murder dog, which was kind of stupid because you don't know who's putting crack in the blunt or what. But I, you know, at that point in time in my life, 18-year-old kid, I didn't give a fuck, you know what I'm saying? I was out there trying to hustle, make some money, and get high. Fuck it. So
that was the start of Scott Beta and Murder Dog then.
Pretty much. My first piece was like a fucking fan letter. And from there, you know, I kept getting cool with Black Dog. I mean, every issue that would come out, he would send me boxes of these fucking things. Before you know it, I had like 200 boxes stacked up in my garage. And I was fucking throwing some of them in the garbage just to get rid of them, burning some of them, whatever. I mean, because I just had way too much for one dude. You know what I'm saying? I guess he thought I had a whole crew. It was just me and a couple guys passing this shit out everywhere. And
was you breaking bread on selling these murder dogs?
Yeah,
or?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, the bus stop was always a good spot. You know what I'm saying? I get like $3-4 a piece. I'd sell maybe.
Now,
like,
when you say bus stop, you're talking about like the Greyhound.
Yeah, the fucking
like
Greyhound,
bus
man.
Stop and the bench.
No, not the school bus stop to the little kid. But I'll tell you a funny story. I infiltrated this little community I live in. It's called Fairfield. You know where it's at. It's a small-ass fucking community, and I started selling to the high school kids, and before you know it, I had posters, too. I was giving some of them posters, and before you know it, the whole school was filled with these murder dogs, and they started suspending kids and shit. Because, you know, back then, we had the freak of the month. We had broads spreading their shit open, and, you know, we had motherfuckers with, guns have always been a murder dog, and it was like this little fucking, you know, hillbilly farming community in the middle of nowhere just got hit with a dose of some street shit, you know what I mean? So I really brought the street game to Fairfield, not just in the...
So basically you're taking credit for tarnishing the community.
Pretty fucking much, man. You know, I did on both levels, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as fucking up the community, me and Big E, we handle that too, you know what I'm saying? We pretty much fucked it up that way, but yeah, I brought a culture into this area that they've never seen before, and I'm proud of that. I did fuck them, because to this day, not one motherfucker here had the balls to ever fucking step to me on no street shit. So it is what it is. But
yeah. How'd you get into the interviewing part of it?
That took years, man, because I started off reviewing. After, you know, selling the murder dogs and just throwing them in the garbage, whatever the fuck, Black Dog's like, hey, you want to do CD reviews? I was like, yeah. So a motherfucker sends me a box of CDs, and I crack it open, and it's a bunch of cats out the bay, some shit from the south. I was like, yeah, let's do this shit. And it was, you know, Esham and stuff like that. I reviewed the Esham Male Dominance album.
Now, was these artists sending in their CDs to be reviewed, or was he actually going out and finding them?
No. They would send them in to Murder Dog. And, really,
right, so by the time 95 came around, Murder Dog was already nationwide.
Yeah, Murder Dog was, pretty much, man. But, see, the problem was they couldn't get in the stores. See, when I officially came on board was when I did the Esham discography and... I was talking about the other night in, like, 97, 98. What happened was some kid wrote in a letter saying, why don't you guys ever do it? And so I called him Murdoch. I was like, do you guys know who Esham is? And I remember Mary saying, no, who is this guy? I don't know nothing about him. I was like, I used to promote for this guy kind of on a small level for his brother, you know, and his brother would send me shit. And so... She's like, well, is he big? I was like, man, this guy's got like 20 fucking albums out. They couldn't believe it. They never heard of nobody with that kind of a catalog, like a Swoop catalog. You know, they never heard of that shit back then. So I sent them all the album covers, and they let me do the discography. Discography is my actual, like, first piece of work I ever did. And then from there, I started doing reviews and shit like that. So... You know, I gotta give credit to know what I'm saying, RLP, the old RLP, James Smith, you know what I'm saying, for put me up on, let me do some promotions way back in the day. And
that's the Real Life Productions, for those that don't know that Esham shit.
That's, yeah, the wicked shit. And for those that don't know, that was the introduction of the wicked shit and the murder dog right there. And when I say wicked shit, acid rap, you know, a lot of people like psychopathic or whatever, they want to take credit. They call their stuff the wicked shit, but the real wicked shit came from Esham. So,
for sure.
He's the originator anyway. But a lot of people do that style now. A lot of people, man, were influenced by him. And many, many people give him his props. Many people don't. So, you know, I definitely wanted to give him his props. So that's what I did.
You ever thought about trying to, you know, stray away from the music and the hip-hop scene? I know you've done other interviews with like, porn stars and stuff like that. But you ever thought of, like, trying maybe, like, freelance writing for a newspaper or something like that?
Yeah, I tried to do that, and most of the newspapers, I give them, because, see, my book, but I don't know if, I posted a little video. My book is full of all my interviews and reviews, but it's also full of all the porn shit that I've done, all the fucking, you know, the murderers, the mobsters, the whores, the pimps, the crackheads, the coroners, and I usually hand them that, like, when I go in for the interview, and be like, okay, this is my body of work. I slap it on their desk. When they get to that section, being that this is the Bible Belt, and as soon as they get to that section, they're like, okay, nah, you're not quite what we're looking for, or I don't know if this area is ready for your style of journalism. Like, so I pretty much, man, the newspaper thing is like, fuck them, you know.
But when did the whole UGS movement come along? I know you and Six, you guys been in it for a long time. CO, I know he's an original member, but where did it all start? What made you guys want to go against the mainstream music and basically put yourself as outcasts, really, in music?
Well, I you know, when I hooked up with the Pink Slime Records, you know what I'm saying? I'd always wanted to do a compilation. In 2001, I was going to put out this compilation. I put it together myself. It was called Hustling in America. And at the time, it had more states than any other compilation. It was like 17 or 18 states. We had Kazi D. We had C-Loke. We had Court Dog. We had EC Illa. We had a whole bunch of different people on this compilation. Megabucks, the homie Megabucks, South Carolina. And I was gonna put out the Dog Day. If those of you in the Bay, and you know, they put out Dark Room, they put out 11-5, fucking UDI, fucking Killaho, fucking
Dog Day was huge. It was right up there with the AWOL and the Black Market and everything.
Yeah, yeah. We was gonna. I used to talk to Chris all the time, and we were gonna put it out. Well, apparently shit didn't go too good with Dark Room Familia. I guess I don't know the whole story, but I guess they owed Darkroom a lot of money, and next thing you know, Chris and Dog Day vanish, and I think he moved to the East Coast, and so I never got to put it out. I was like, fuck, you know, so it was in the makings, man. The whole concept of it was in the makings for over a decade, but I finally got with these faggot fucks over at Pink Slime Records. And that's what we call him. Me and my brother, CO Demolition. You know, he had an album out through them /RBC, and I had this compilation. I came up with this name called Underground Society, and the symbol of it, I just had the pyramid, and the whole idea behind it was like, okay, we're the underground Illuminati to break through this mainstream, kind of like what the Revolution did. They had to get away from King George and all that shit and break through.
Yeah.
But at the same token, I'm big off in that conspiracy shit. And I was like, nah, I can't do this. And me and CO had to talk. And CO said it. He's like, man, fuck that Illuminati shit. And I says, you just gave me the title of my fucking album. And fuck the Illuminati. That's where it came from, right then and there. So I got to give praise to CO the Bad Black. He came up with the title "Fuck the Illuminati." So everybody is shouting out FTI. You know what I'm saying? That title.
Yeah, we all owe it to CO the Bad Black.
Yeah, who I met through Murder Dog. You know what I'm saying?
King of the Delta.
Yeah. Met him in '02. You know what I'm saying?
So let's get more into these pink slime ass motherfuckers. What happened with that, man? Because every time, you know, I'll be listening to the show and I'll hear either you or I'll hear Six go off in a crazy rant, and they're always screaming, you know, fuck RBC or whatever they're called, fuck them, fuck him, fuck Burger Boy. And I mean, you could feel the anger in the voices. So I know it's a deep hate.
Well, it ain't nothing to do with RBC. RBC, man, they didn't do nothing to us. It's actually the label is Burger. Burger Boy Records. We'll just call them Burger Boy Records, or like I said, Pink Slime, because that's a bunch of fake shit.
What is RBC?
RBC is the record label that puts out Tech N9ne. We had our distribution through them for CO's album.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They put out Tech N9ne, E40, and all that shit. No, it's all good. But it happens to all us journalists, man. Don't even trip. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
But what happened was, you know, with the compo, first, with let's start with CO's album. His album came out, and RBC is the type of distributor that they're going to put into you what you put into you. And the boss man at Burger Boy Records, he said that he wanted to put out CO's album, and that he could do it. He was a CEO, blah, 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 and he was going to put this, and that into it. Well, he fell short and didn't do it. And at that time, I'd already had the compilation coming out through him, so I was worried. I was like, oh, shit, you know, we're going to have two projects that this guy fucked off. And we did. That's what ended up happening, because on the compilation, what happened was I started gathering tracks, and him and CMB and C-Dub, that's what I call them, they started getting tracks too, but they wanted to take all the credit for it, which in actuality, I was getting the majority of the tracks. My brother Shandle got me tracks. Seal got me tracks. My brother Six got me tracks. There were so many people involved that got tracks, not just those two fucking pillow biters. And I'm sorry.
And we're talking about about the big FTI compilation.
The 69 track.
Okay.
They were bringing a lot of tracks to the table, too, that were just fucking whack. Like, they didn't get the concept. The idea was, fuck the Illuminati. We're coming at the people that's killing us, that's killing our seniors. That's what the concept was. And these guys are bringing us this G-Funk, you know, big ups to Drew Down, but they're bringing us these guys trying to sound like Drew Down and shit, and all this crap that has nothing to do with the project. And they had the nerve to bring a fucking skit from a guy who owned this supposed promotions company, and they wanted to put that on there as a track. It's a 10-second, this dude like, hey, what's up, DMB, giving his love to DMB. I said, are you kidding me?
And this is a German company, right?
Yeah, this is the German company. He convinced me to put it on because he's like, this dude's a big promoter and he'll help us and blah, blah, blah. So I did it, which was a fucking stupid mistake. And things started, you know, business started to get sour. Dude was getting shady on the sales, wouldn't show me the sales when I asked.
And come to find out, it actually was a big seller.
Yeah. If you go to the website, it was listed as a top seller. I mean, we saved all that information and copied and pasted shit. And it definitely didn't get the attention it deserved, but it definitely did a hell of a lot better than what this guy. I mean, this guy's trying to say we literally sold, like, a handful of copies. Like, when I got the sales reports from him, it was like some copy and pasted shit in a notepad. And he's like, this is directly from the distributor and shit. It's like, get the fuck out of here, you know. So, but finally, after fighting, you know, we got the compilation back, and we're gonna release it, take off all that bullshit that he's on. You know, he's just one of those fame whores, man. He has to have his face on everything, and that's what happened. He was upset that CO was doing things and I was doing things, and he wanted to shine. It's like, come on, man, we're supposed to be a cohesive team. Get behind the one that's got the ball right now, and then when it's your turn, then we're going to all get behind you. But he didn't want to play that way.
And I see now that the UGS movement, man, it seems like it's really growing stronger, you know, with the Justins and the Max and the Hendillas and, of course, CO and the Emos. And, I mean, I see dudes every day repping it, like new people every day repping that shit. I know you ask everybody this. What's UGS to you?
To me, it's a fucking family. Because I'll put you like this. Like you said, all these people that are repping the movement, they really believe in it. You know what I mean? And they believe in us. They believe in you. They believe in me. They believe in themselves. And they believe in what we stand for. And, man, that's fucking family, dog. I never had that in this industry. You know, there's only... You got to understand.
It's a cutthroat industry.
Yes, cutthroat industry. 15-plus years prior to this UGS shit, there's only a handful of people that I consider comrades in this game that I met, like, of course, Six, you know what I'm saying, of course, the Bad Black, and, you know, a few other people. That's it. So when I founded UGS and started to build a family, man, it's a great feeling to know motherfuckers from around the globe that respect what you're doing so much that they, you know what I'm saying, they give you praise and your people praise, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I love where I'm at right now. I just want to start making that fucking money, you know?
That's the big thing, the money. Got to get the money. I know you have several services with promotion, and I see you have a little managing service and stuff, and everybody in UGS, man, they seem to get a lot of that from you for nothing. And, I mean, that's major love right there alone, because there's several members. I mean, we're probably 20-plus, like, full-fledged members that really support. And, I mean, how does that go? How do you choose who you give all to like that, all the promotions and all the everything you do for all of us,
well,
when you could very well be making money off of it, but it's almost like you just choose not to.
Well, what people gotta understand is the money comes when we become successful. And what I mean, I don't mean by being mainstream. I just mean by achieving that financial fucking goal that we all set out to achieve. But the ones that we get behind the most are the ones that get behind us, the movement the most. The ones that grind and rep the movement and really push it, those are the ones we fuck with the most. And there's been a lot, man. Like yourself, you donated a fucking album. A lot of cats are donating tracks and time. And Six is always on the art. You know, Jerry's always on the fucking audio. I mean, there's a lot of people that's really talented in this movement that when it does blow up, they need to get their shine. You know what I'm saying? When you open up this UGS umbrella, you're not going to see just one person standing there holding it. You're going to see a bunch of motherfuckers in that goddamn umbrella. I mean, this thing's got to be the size of a fucking football stadium before we get done, you know.
That's real. If Cash Money Records called you guys tomorrow and said they wanted to sign CO the Bad Black, would y'all sign?
Well, I can't speak for CO, but I know he would be like, fuck that. He pranked me the other day and said some shit about a label's going to call, or a label just called me, and they want me to sign with them, but they said, man, I got to quit fucking with you because they don't like you. Some shit like that.
What would you say if that was the case?
I told him, man, think of your family. Think of your kids. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about me, because I'm not like that. I'm not going to get bitch hurt or butt hurt. And, you know what I'm saying? He's like, just fucking with your prayers. You know, he does that a lot. Motherfucker fucks with me all the time. I have to get him back every once in a while. But I told him to go out and get it, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he'd sign no fucking cash money. I mean, if they offered him like fucking 10 mil, maybe he'd take the 10 mil and do a fucking album. But, man, if they asked him to do any of that fuckboy shit, man, he'd be whooping some motherfuckers' asses over there. I guarantee you that, man. That dude is not on that shit. And he says it in all his interviews. You listen to any interview, I mean, like Murder Dog interviews, Sickness.net interviews. He's like, I ain't playing that gay shit for nobody, let alone this industry. You know what I'm saying? So.
And that's real. There's not a lot of rappers that stand for nothing no more. You know, it's all paychecks and contracts. Whatever
yeah.
they want, you're getting.
Paychecks
so
and fucking just some bullshit, you know.
And you've been in the rap game, so to speak, since the mid-90s. Where you see rap going in the next 15, man?
Next 15, if people do what they're supposed to, if the OGs in the industry start checking these punks getting out of line, all these OGs start checking the style jackers without giving people, like, what I mean by style jackers, if you come out with the style, someone jacks your shit, and they run with it, but then they don't give you props or they don't do features with you. If these artists don't start checking them, and then the consumers don't start boycotting, we're gonna be in a. It's gonna look like Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. It's already starting to look like that right now. And a
bunch of animals and carnival rides.
A bunch of animals, carnival rides, and pedophiles. I mean, before you know it, hip hop's going to be accepted in the Catholic Church, and you know, choir boys are going to be at sermon
and a lot of these rappers. It's already headed that way with the. I mean, now they got Christian rap, and they got every kind of rap you can think of. When back in the day, you know, rap was mainly a poor person's voice.
Yeah,
it was the voice of
struggle.
The streets, and now, I mean, there's no struggle even with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, I don't even think dude was ever poor because he was rich at like six.
So
there's no way, dude, there's no way he can remember a real struggle.
And that's it. I'm glad you pointed out, because it's not just the tight pants, skinny jeans, whole gay thing. It's them, like CO would say, it's a facade. It's them showcasing this materialistic shit, like you said, that these young kids cannot relate to. If you're poor, you ain't got no money, your mom and dad ain't got money, and they're struggling, how can you relate to what the fuck Justin Bieber's talking about, or Miley Cyrus, or fucking Chris Brown, or any one of these fucking goofballs? You know, how can you relate to that? You don't know what it's like to have boats and hoes. I mean, it's like we got to start talking about how they're killing people, how they're fucking taking away prescription drugs from our seniors. And, you know, rap with substance. You know what I'm saying? Rap with, that's what's missing from the game, is substance. And even these underground rappers, you got a lot of these dudes. Now, if you do the devil shit, that's cool. Or if you do the whorecore, whatever, that's cool. But once in a while, put some fucking substance. Don't just talk about skinning a cat and eating it like that and chopping up the fucking liver, and talk about some shit that's gonna mean something at the end of the day, is what I'm trying to say.
I was reading an interview you did with Be Real, and he was talking about the new rap. There's thousands of rappers now, but there is a select few of rappers with substance. You just gotta look for them now.
You gotta find them. You know, like the Immortal Techniques and the K Renos and. You know, I mean, even like someone like yourself, you rap many styles. You know what I mean? You don't just stick in one genre and just do that. You know what I'm saying? You're willing to come with a song that's about children dying in Fort Bragg, and then in the next breath come with a song about, like, taking a butcher knife and cutting a bitch's head off. So that's what I like. You got to have substance. And substance
and that,
style. And
that works. That works with everything, even going into your journalism. It's the same thing. You can't just interview rappers all day.
No, you got to interview. That's why I always like.
Well, who do you enjoy interviewing more? You enjoy interviewing rappers more, or you enjoy like the conspiracy theorists and the hookers? I know you like interviewing the hookers.
Yeah, I love talking to the hookers about like how bad their pussy's been abused over the years. But I definitely I like the reality, man. I think the rap shit, I've done so much of it, it's the same thing. It's like you get a rap dude on the phone, yeah, man, I got the best album coming out, blah, 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 and you ain't never heard nothing like me before. It's a lot of arrogance. There's very few, I will say, there's very few humble rappers out there, man. Like the legends, a lot of the legends are cool, but a lot of these up-and-coming cats, man, I don't know if it's that they're eager to try to impress people to get their style or their shit out there, or if they're just, like, arrogant assholes by nature. I don't know what it is, but I definitely like interviewing, like, your everyday people, like Anthony J. Hilder, you know, talking about fucking diseases and, you know, or J.C. Barber talking about eating healthy foods. That's the type of shit I like doing now.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Who was the most arrogant rapper you've ever interviewed?
Arrogant rapper ever? Exhibit. He's always been the...
Exhibit, too.
Well, yeah, he's a piece of shit, though. I mean, his music and shit, the dude's got lyrics, but when I interviewed him, he was just an asshole, and who else was it? Messy Marv was a fucking asshole, too. I didn't like his attitude, which most people see that, you know. Now, Yuck Mouth, I usually like Yuck Mouth, man. When he came on my show, he was on one, but... I always like interviewing him, man, because we talk about crazy fucking shit. You know, talk about broads that, you know, he fucking had on tour that fucking, they were all running up in her some shit, you know.
Who was the most humble and open with you?
The most humble and open, man, there's been a lot. There's been a lot. And a lot of them are people you wouldn't think would be humble and open. Like, for example, let me see. Manny Fresh, you know what I'm saying? That was a good dude. We were talking this before Hurricane Katrina, and I remember one thing he said. I got the interview where he said, if natural disaster strikes, we were talking about people's statuses, you know, wealth-wise. He says, if natural disaster strikes, we are all equal. That's one time when we're all equal, and a few months later, Katrina hit, and... That's some fucking freaky shit. But no, Manny Fresh was a real good dude, man. He was down to earth. X-rated, real fucking humble dude. You know what I'm saying? There's probably about 20 dudes, man, that are real humble and down to earth. I would say Tech N9ne, but he kind of changed on me. Kind of wanted to do collaborations with Rick Ross. Nah, I can't believe it, man. After watching his whole career go... You know, from the FTI days to, I was always happy for him. Each time he'd take a step higher, I was happy. It's like, man, look at these guys. They're doing it on their own and blah, 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 blah. But then once he entered that realm with the Lil Wayne thing, it wasn't just a coincidence because you could see he went up 20 flights of stairs. As soon as he touched Lil Wayne, you know, take that however you want to, but as soon as he touched Lil Wayne, things started to happen for him. And
after
the
little
conjugal
visit they had.
Yeah.
But right. Nah, me and Six was talking about Tech N9ne the other day, and it seems like every artist that goes to Tech's label nowadays, Strange Music, it's a step down from what they were. We was mainly talking about Lynch. He signs a Strange. You know, I don't hear no more baby killing, no more baby eating. Little just bits of cannibalism still. Nothing hard, real atheist like he did on the earlier album. And he's dissing First Degree the DE now, and it just seems like, man, the Tech has changed a lot, a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you look at, well, even Lynch's albums, his first album on Strange sold like 40,000. I think the second one sold like 9 or 10. And the third one, I don't know, man. Yeah, definitely. Shit's changed.
And you guys were in talks with Strange at one time with CO, weren't you?
Yeah, most definitely, man. We actually, CO was, we were talking to Dave Weiner, who used to work over Priority. You know, he was the one who got credit for signing Master P to that deal that Master P got. We were talking to him, and there was definitely a possibility, but you know, after a year goes by and things weren't kept 100, and it was like, obviously it was like, all right, man, we ain't getting nowhere with these motherfuckers. They don't see it. They don't see the fucking vision that we tried to show them. So, you know, fuck it. And that's pretty much what it is with Strange right now, you know.
It's kind of strange. You said it.
Yeah.
You fucking said it. What's your favorite record of all time?
Favorite record of all time? Man.
Hip-hop record.
Hip-hop, and how far are we going back here?
We're going back as far as your favorite record is.
My favorite record of all time, one that I could still listen to like 20-plus years, there's two of them. One is the Ghetto Boys, the 1990 Ghetto Boy, the Mugshot album, because I could still listen to that like front to back, every track. And then the 1992 Poison Clan, Poisonous Mentality. I'd say those two. Because, I've listened to them for 20-plus years, and if you're able to listen to something that long and still listen to it, then I think that's some powerful shit. It motivated you some kind of way, some powerful shit, you know. So I'd probably say those.
You come a long way, too. Both of those albums that you mentioned, you've actually got to interview dudes that had a big part of those records. Like, I know you and JT are real cool. I see him repping the UGS a lot. Not too long ago, you got to introduce Red from the Ghetto Boys. Have you interviewed anybody else from the Ghetto Boys?
Yeah. I interviewed Face, Bushwick, and Willie D. We did pretty much
all of them.
All of them except Face. Like the original, like Raheem and Jukebox and Johnny C. But Ready Red was actually my favorite because he was the one that for 20 years wasn't even talked about, and he came up with everything. So it was good to be able to interview him because he never got the shine that I felt he deserved. Bushwick was cool, too. He's out there.
Now, you do a lot of the Illuminati stuff, and you do a podcast and all that. What's the deal with the podcast? When's the next one coming to that?
Well, me and Six, shit, we're waiting on your homegirl. Me and Six, we're getting ready to do podcast number 15. That's one of my favorite things I've done in this game because, well, for one, you know what I'm saying, I get to host it with my brother, Six. But two, we've interviewed, I mean, go to our page and look at the contrast of guests that we have. We got, like, street, militant street motherfuckers mixed with nerdy radio show hosts, mixed with fucking health food activists, mixed with Illuminati activists, film producers, filmmakers, porn stars, people who kidnap people for a living, military, Satanists, fucking people that got shows on HBO, you dumb motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, the contrast of guests on this show is unbelievable. My show is pretty much just 100% rap music. From the DJ to the rapper to the producer, that's what it's going to be. But the podcast, man, you don't know what the fuck you're going to get. You're going to get some knowledge, that's for sure.
Now, with all that being said, man, with all your guests and the range and all that stuff, why do you think you haven't blown up?
Money and conformity. I never really had anybody to put those stacks behind me. You know, because people know, man, if you put some money behind me, like the people that know me, they know something's going to happen. Like I always say, make me A&R, not on no ego shit, just on some real shit. Make me A&R for 6 months at some fucking label. I'll clean it. I'll fire everybody. It'll be like a rogue sheriff getting in the office. I'm going to fire every motherfucker on staff, and I'm going to hire all my people, like all my UGS people from around the fucking world, and we're going to run we're going to single-handedly change the game. But they don't want to do that. And plus, I speak my mind. I went to war with people in the industry. Like, you know, I told Travis O'Gwen, fuck you. I told Julia Beverly, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I never bit my tongue, and I think that's
I think you might have told Lazy Bone that, too.
I think, yeah, I told Lazy Bone. You know, so, which he's still going to come on the show when we come back, so props to Lazy, but fuck you, Lazy.
Yeah.
But that's
but
the
that's,
thing.
That's real, though. That's real. So you're pretty much saying you're kind of like Tupac. You got a big fucking mouth, and it holds you back at times.
Yeah, I got a real big mouth, but when I see something that's foul, I'm going to speak upon it. You know what I mean? If I see somebody get mistreated or what the case is, I'm going to speak upon it. Like when DMB started acting funny with the UGS compilation, I aired them out, man. I had to speak on it. You know what I'm saying? I had to, and he didn't like that. It killed him. You know what I'm saying? And then he made some posts on my wall, and then he... That's when the war really started, when he made this ignorant post on my wall. It said a bitch is a bitch. I guess he was trying to call me a bitch. Right away, my brother Six, my brother CO, and then I got in it, and everybody was like, "What? Who the fuck are you talking about?" And his excuse was, "I thought I was posting this on my wall." Who the fuck would say that? You know, that's the gayest thing. I mean, that dude's so fake, he's transparent. You can see through him. And, you know, that's... That guy, he's another motherfucker that I said, fuck you to. I'm not going to let no one fuck with us, man. Anytime I see me or any of my people get fucked with, it's like bitch-ass Shahid. The only good thing about Shahid was I met my brother Six through Shahid. Shahid was he ran this company called Darker Sound, and he had Mastermind signed to him for an album. Six was a graphic artist, you know, and that was the only good thing that happened about that. But Shahid was crooked. He was like, I A&R'd the fucking Otis album, the End of the World album, right? Well, I brought Isham.
Yeah.
I brought Isham to him, and he took him to Warlock and the deal. And he told me, he's like, man, you're going to get 10 stacks for setting everything up. And, of course, I didn't get 10 stacks of shit. So I don't like taking bullshit from people, and I don't like seeing people being done wrong, man. And that's probably why I haven't gotten where I should be, you know.
Who's on your fuck you list right now?
On my fuck you list, it's not all juggalos, man, because some juggalos know their history, but the ignorant juggalos, the ones that think ICP didn't style jack and bite Isham and... it's definitely Strange. I think Strange is not everybody on Strange, you know, because I think a lot of them are like, oh man, I'm in a fucked off deal. But definitely Strange, Burger Boy Records, you know what I'm saying, and Bugs in the Gutter. Ben Gwim and his speech impediment, that motherfucker. Man, there's a few of them, man. There's a few of them on the list. I definitely don't like a few of these bitches, man. Oh, and the mainstream, Lil Wayne, you know, fuck anybody that's rocking that fucked up shit, because that's not what rap is about. Like you said, it's about struggle, man. That fool shot himself in the chest. You know what I'm saying? People in New Orleans almost fucking look how many people died in New Orleans. He needs to be doing more shit for them. Instead, he's out in Miami, fucking off in Miami. With the with Rick Ross and the Miami Heat and shit. That fool's a straight bitch.
I agree with you, man. The game has definitely changed. It's crazy now. Definitely crazy. What do you think the digital takeover has affected hip hop in a bad way with all the downloads? And I know it seems like it's killed the magazine game and stuff. How's
yeah.
that for a journalist?
Yeah, it definitely do. Prior to the major like digital fucking thing, I was writing for like 5-6 magazines at once. I went from that to fucking barely writing at all. A lot of the magazines went under, like Streetmasters. That was out of Tennessee. It was an operation from like 03 to 08. 07, we won the Southern Entertainment Magazine of the Year award, and I was the executive editor of the magazine, man. So I was responsible for putting the content in that magazine. And then 1 year later, after winning that award, we were done. It was kaput. It was over. Of course, our executive or our the owner of the magazine made a lot of bad business moves. You know, man, it's hard, man. It hit me the same way it hit you guys, but you got to find ways around. You got to basically find ways through the obstacle. Like, you know, now you can sell your music digitally, but not everybody in the streets has got fucking iPhones and got
digital music. That's exactly the next point I was going to make. It's almost like the government has taken rap music and put it to a place where you have to have a little bit of money to be able to find what you like. You got to be able to have a computer and have a place to live to plug it in where you know somebody ain't going to steal it. And you got to have the internet service, and then you got to have money to download it. And
yeah,
it's almost like they're trying to trap you.
Yeah, the rappers
trap you in this digital world.
A lot, exactly. A lot of the rappers, they complain about it, and it's hard on them, but they got to look at it from the fucking consumer standpoint, too. I never even thought of it like that. That's a good point you made, man.
You know, I don't see rappers no more on the corner handing out their music. I see them sitting at home posting their garbage-ass links on my Facebook wall, which pisses me off. Quit fucking doing that, rappers, especially whack rappers. And, I mean, that shit just pissed me off. I remember the old days, you could just be walking down the street or walking through the mall, and a rapper would come up to you and be like, hey, check out my CD, blah, blah, blah. Here's my number, hit me up. It's not like that no more at all.
No. No, not at all, man.
The game is almost over, I'd say.
You think so?
It's watered down too much. It's kind of like heavy metal, air metal, like hair metal, the Guns N' Roses and groups like that. It's, I don't know, man. It just seems crazy.
How do we get from what we used to be to, you know, back to that status? I mean, I'll tell you exactly what we have to do. You guys out there, sometimes I'm guilty of it. I'll go to World Star, see people get their heads cut off or some badass bitches, you know, from time to time.
I go there for the bitches, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I also like to see people get their heads cut off, too. But fuck it, you know, that's some lynch shit for you, some nip shit. But we got to boycott the hip-hop DXs. We got to boycott the XXLs. We got to boycott the clothing, everything. We got to boycott it all. You know what I'm saying? We got to boycott the mainstream music. You know, you can't be buying no Wiz Khalifa CD or no Kanye West or, you know, all that shit needs to be out of the game, man. But you know what? Those Swoop, too many people are fucking brainwashed.
It's the young kids. I mean, that's what they're growing up on, so it's hard to show them what we came up on. And like you said, now that it's so, kids are into this new shit, it's hard to listen to a gangster rap CD for a young kid and be like, oh, shit, that was really going on. People were shooting each other and gangbanging and stuff like that. I mean, it just...
But a lot of these
nowadays,
kids,
you know, it's all money.
It's all money. And a lot of these kids, like, they'll listen to the T.I.s and the Jeezys and the fake Salad Toss Rick Ross. And that's what they're talking about. They're talking about dope. But with them, again, it's a facade. It's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you listen to Spice One or you listen to X-Rated or Darkroom Familia, you knew these motherfuckers knew what they were talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's definitely the difference. Is rappers nowadays, man, they talk about moving keys and all this stuff, but at the same time, they're sitting on a $20 million contract. Why in the hell would they be moving keys?
Yeah.
It's got to be fake.
Yeah, of course.
It's got to be fake.
Of course, they, you know, it's and again, they're sending a kid an image. They're make, back in the day, the music wasn't targeted towards the kids. The kids that did get a hold of it, the fuck ups like myself. That's because
and
that, we
it was
be,
majority. It was majority white kids too getting that music.
Yeah, we went behind. You know, like I remember, I brought the As Nasty As They Want to Be taped to school, and I got suspended. And the lady was, like, reading, like, the lyrics to my mom over the phone. And I remember my mom was like, you can't buy that no more, uh-uh. And I went to my dad, and he's like, I remember him taking me to Coconuts, and I picked out the exact same tape or something similar. It was probably banned in the USA or something, and he didn't give
we'll
a fuck.
We'll find it for the cover.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck, you know, so... I remember we used to have this, like, 83 Riviera, and he used to let me play the tapes in there and shit. He was cool with it. He liked that line, "We Want Some Pussy." He liked shit like that, man. He didn't care. So, but, yeah, I was listening to that shit. I will agree. I will not let my kid listen to it. I was listening to that shit in third grade. You know, the shit that we grew up off, it wasn't for kids, man, and it wasn't marketed towards kids. They had the stickers and this, and that. But now these guys are selling sneakers. They're putting their face all over clothes. And they're going right after the... I mean, the demographic for hip-hop music is, I want to say, 12 to 15-year-old Rich Valley girl type. That's what's into that fucking music right now. That's what it seems to be. It's all a bunch of fucking
it's
bullshit.
Too bad, because when you stop making music for yourself and start making it for the people you think is going to spend money, it kind of just kills off the whole reason for being a musician, period.
Yeah, and you don't really, as a musician, you don't want to do that because you feel like you're selling out. You know, you don't want to cross over into that either, so.
I don't even think these dudes nowadays care about selling out. I think that's the main goal. Is the sell out and sell out.
A lot of them do. Like I was saying the other day, they got the folder on their computer, the radio-friendly folder with the T-Pain mixes, you know, and they're just doing what they can to fight the mainstream. A lot of these guys ain't bad for doing it. But I just say be true to what you do and try to find your own fan base. You know what I mean?
That's real. That's real talk. That's real talk. Now, I've had interviewing Prez, had him on the line for about an hour, ain't played a single fucking song, ain't took a caller, ain't done nothing. So I'm going
to
ask you one more question, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one more question, then go ahead and we'll put on some callers and see if they got some questions for you. But I was digging deep into Google, looking up Prez, and man, I found this story, and I wanted to know if it was true. I heard that you and Black Dog got into a murder dog, and he threw you out the window.
Yeah. It was the second story window. And I actually broke my collarbone. Nah, man, Black Dog's too small to pick up my balls. He's a little dude, man, real small dude. She's from Sri Lanka, and I only saw one picture. He's very mysterious. A lot of people don't know he came from a rock and roll background. And when he moved out to the Bay, he was a punk rocker. And he was just amazed by the culture in the Bay, and that's how he started Murder Dog. He lived like down the street from E-40 or some shit. So,
yeah, that's wild. No, yeah. But on the real, a question I did forget to ask is, how'd you get the name President?
President Beta was given to me by my brother CO on the mixtape, the Sultan of this rap shit. There was this song where he was like, "What up, Prez?" And that name just stuck with. He made me the President of Demolition, you know, his label. And it was a very huge honor, man, because CO is a legend. Cats don't know it, but he's a fucking legend, man. He goes back many, many fucking years. And He's done a lot of great things. We've done a lot of great things together since I've known him. Yeah, I met him in 02, and in 10 years, we've been on, like, fucking two or three movie soundtracks. We've been on fucking a lot of compilations. We've had videos. We had deals. We've done a lot of shit together, man. We just never made it to the next level due to financial reasons. We haven't found that, again, we haven't found that financial backer. If we had a motherfucker that would step up and say, here's 50 stacks, I want to put it behind Shield of Bad Black, I want to put some behind UGS, it's over with, man, I'm telling you. Then they can't ignore us because we'll play their bullshit game. We'll pay to get the videos on WorldStar, the banners on here and there, and they'll see us. We'll be everywhere. They can't fucking deny it. You know what I'm saying? But we'll be everywhere killing these swaggots, man, and doing it the right way.
I'll tell you what, with UGS as a team, what we're coming to right now, man, they ain't going to be able to deny it. Even if we ain't got $50,000, we're gonna have power in numbers.
Yeah. Eventually, that's it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. When you start something, we founded this at the end of 2010. It takes, something like this takes years to build. You know what I'm saying? And we're still in our we're out of the infancy stage, but we're in the adolescent stage right now. And eventually, man, once we hit those teen years, which will be pretty soon, you know what I'm saying? It's we're going to take off, man. There ain't going to be no stopping us. You know?
Yes, sir. It's been a fucking pleasure interviewing you. I finally got what I wanted out of you. I got all the answers I've been wondering about. Run my ass out of questions, so
I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Let's see if something, what the people got to ask you. Maybe they got something.
I we'll bring out someone right now. You there?
Yo, what's going on, Prez? What up, Jack? What's the deal?
It's my brother right there.
Yeah, man. Alright, I got a question. I'm gonna ask you something I asked myself and like did recently. When everything is all said and done, it's it. Everything's all done and over with. What do you want to be left as your legacy and shit? You know, what you want folks to really say, oh, that motherfucker was about this, or this is how he did this, you know what I'm saying? What do you really want in the end?
Man, that's a good question. Easy answer. Fucking UGS. Because that's where all my brothers are, man. All my brothers, you know what I'm saying? And if I were to die tomorrow or just quit this shit tomorrow, I want people to say, hey, he repped that shit, he repped it hard. You know, but yeah, that's some real shit. Debbie wouldn't have asked that question with her hairy pussy.
Nah, man, she asked Debbie. Ask her, man, what's up with letting Big Rob rail your ass like you said? Man. I mean, I'm into asking her that. Ask if she wants to try out muslin bean pie while she samples her penis in her mouth at the same time. You know, just test the sample each flavor and how she likes them both.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, looking forward to being on Debbie's show again. I got to give respect to Debbie for always putting us on there and putting up this.
Number four or five.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
That's another thing. I like being able to do the press runs with Six. I chose Six as my press cohort, man, because the dude is a phenomenal speaker. I mean, listen to how he talks, especially when he goes off on a rant. But wait till you hear him use the job interview voice.
I gotta clean it up. It's gonna be me at a job interview. Oh, y'all get a rare treat.
Yeah. He definitely he could turn it on either way, man, and give a good show. So definitely, I always work with you, man.
Because afterwards, after the show, man, I'm looking at good 2 hours of looking at myself in the mirror and hating myself at everybody. So yeah.
Definitely. You know what I'm saying? It's always been a pleasure, man, to know you. You still there, Swoop? I think Swoop is gone. Guess we'll bring
on. I thought he was making the show with the fucking with Jack as the host, man. Come on, fucking need his own little spot.
Yeah. He needs to come. Here he is. He's back. Hey, you there, brother?
Yeah, I got disconnected.
He got dissed, and then he got an erection. What? Man, that's gay shit, dude.
Erection.
Yeah. But when's that collaboration with Merch coming out, Swoop?
With MERS?
Yeah. It's next week, right?
I can't speak on that shit. It's secret, like Super Duke Lazy Bones album.
We gotta keep that one in the closet for a few years.
Yeah, it's like the man's sexuality. It's all good.
Swoop is definitely.
It's gonna be featuring MERS, Lil B, and a couple other rappers.
Oh man, that's gonna be a classic.
Hey, yo, and I'm a break with big news. I'm gonna go ahead and donate it to UGS.
There we go. There we go, man.
We're gonna make so much money off the names alone, man. Good looking out.
We'll put that shit out the right way in the garbage.
gonna get Jerry to master it. Six on the art.
I think Jerry will masturbate on it.
I have pictures and just gonna go right to the dumpster and won't go through, just like a fucking jersey or something.
Yeah, definitely, man. But no, man. Swoop, you know, I think you got a budding journalism career going, man. And Six, you guys, I want to ask both of you guys this question: what's it like to be a journalist from your standpoint?
It's tougher than it's easy. It's easy to interview you because I've talked to you before on the phone and asked a lot of those questions, anyways. But I mean, if I had to interview like a Snoop Dogg or someone like that, man, I'd be nervous in a bitch.
I'd be fumbling
and not knowing what to ask. And I'm more of a type that likes to have questions down in front of me on a piece of paper and know what to expect. I don't like going to it. Like when you called me up earlier and was like, "You want to host a show tonight?" I was like, "Oh, shit. I'm going to fuck this up." But it went smooth, man. It went all right.
You did a good job, man.
For an hour with no breaks.
Well, what about you, show? Six?
Man, I think each time I do someone, it's almost like a learning experience because it's teaching me how to just sit there, and I got to enforce my will while being on the line with some other motherfucker whose personality is probably as loud as mine, if not louder. So I got to be there and not be overshadowed by you jackass, because the interview is just as big as a part of the interview week. It's each time I got to learn how to do that. And so also I'm learning not how to talk over people as much, because I'm a loud motherfucker, and I'll talk over you if you give me the fucking chance. So each time it's stepping stones. And I'm watching how y'all do, you do play Dennis Prez, and I'm learning bit by bit, and I'm getting handy with motherfuckers.
Yeah, both of you guys, man. You're definitely doing a good job, man. Let's bring on another caller here. This fucking regular in the show. What's up, homie?
What up? Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yo, what up? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, brother.
What's up, man? It's Mac J and his bitch, man.
It's Mac J, man. St. Louis, Chicago.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I'm just laughing at Six ass. Well, I can't wait till you bring your show back out, dog.
Oh, man. A good 3-4 weeks time, you know, around the 50 whenever I feel like it. Come back, y'all.
Hey, but one question I really got, I want to ask, though. I was just thinking about it when y'all was talking about the podcast, man. How can I get down on the podcast, man? Because I like some of them topics and shit, too. I ain't only about music. I be into that other shit, too, though.
Yeah, the podcast definitely is something we do. It's pre-recorded. But we could bring you on, man, while we're interviewing somebody. You could ask them a few questions or... You know, that would be nothing. We got a conference line for that, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I missed out when y'all was making them calls and shit. Like, that's why Six, your show had me dying with Prez got to be finding the big fat rubber woman with the big hairy vagina and shit. You know what I'm saying? He told
she
the bitch, in my country they call it Rahima. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what the fuck?
I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what Rahima
hey,
is.
Hey, she went for that shit, though, man.
I love it when that fool does that Chinese voice. He says, "I want to make woo-woo."
Yeah. In my country, it means a woman woo-woo.
Woo-woo. Mr. Wang is that deal, man. Mr. Wang.
Mr. Wang and his cousin, Jin Juice. You got to love Jin Juice.
Oh, yeah. I want to give another shout-out. I think it's over at your crib, Scoop, so I want to give a shout-out to your kids in the background, because they enjoying the shit out of their summer break, dog. And I hear them back there, and see, That's real shit right there. When you hear children like that, then you know you doing your job because they happy, dog. They content, man. And that's what a lot of this shit about too, man. Raising our shorties right, man. You know what I'm saying? Because like we was talking earlier, like they will get brainwashed by this bullshit that they seeing if they ain't got no other avenues to show them. Hey, this ain't what's real. Like y'all talking about Wayne. Like Wayne ain't never seen. You ain't never been no real blood or no shit like that. I know real blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know real Crips. I know real GDs. I know real Latin Kings and all that shit. Like, so and our kids, they're gonna see the same shit. We not gonna be in the club popping bottles and doing shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here.
That's probably one of
right
the, that's one of the realest things that's been said all night.
Yeah.
True.
For real, man. I just want to salute y'all, man. For, you know, I'm telling you, man. This UGS shit is what it's got me motivated on a whole lot of shit. Cause, like, I forgot who was on the last episode, and they was like, man, I don't even fucking listen to rap no more. Like for real. Like if it ain't old school shit, but I'm jamming all y'all shit though. Like we was listening to episode 24 at work today, and it was a couple motherfuckers at first, kind of frowning and shit. But I don't give a fuck. I'm running the spot when I'm at work, so. You don't like to put some fucking headphones on, go get you some fucking Beats by Dre or something. I don't give a fuck, but we going to jam this shit
bit
all day while we at work. And if you don't like it, you kiss my black ass.
See, that's what I'm saying. We got some real soldiers in this bitch repping this shit. And you know, we can't grow without people like you, Justin, because it's up to guys like you to let them know about us, man. And just it's up to us, you know what I'm saying, to let people know about the Swoops and the COs and the, you know, we need to do that, man, effectively, man. And I give you props, man. You're on top of your fucking A-game. Matthew Molnar, man,
yeah,
that motherfucker.
Dope.
That motherfucker,
oh, yeah.
Man, he tells his goddamn social worker about the shit, man.
Yeah. And that's real, man. I got mad love for Matt, man. I wish he was in the States, you know what I'm saying, so we could really fuck with him on the real. On a
sure.
Super for real level, because I'm telling you, man, like I tell y'all motherfuckers all the time, if you come to St. Louis, you'll be a goddamn fool if you don't hit me up if you see that goddamn arch. If you see that motherfucker, you know, a lot of people say they be in the city or they live in the city and they don't live nowhere around this motherfucker, but if you see that motherfucker, hit my motherfucking line, I'll be there. The only way I won't be there is if I'm at work, and I'm going to tell you when I get off, I'll be there.
It's real shit.
What's up?
You know, Spook 3
gonna be making
UCS shower,
man. So you know it's on.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till you get your show back on 6, man. The one you had on Saturday night, that was classic, man. Like I turned down going out and hanging out with motherfuckers because I'm like, man, from 9 to 11, I got something to do. And motherfuckers like, well, what you got to do? I said, shit, call this number and you'll see what we finna do.
We're going to write it back, and hopefully we get some fucking ratty-haired bitches so I can tell them what they are. Because you're like motherfucking hoes in the kitchen. I just want to be there to lend a helping hand, that's all. Stir them away from what they're doing. See if those titties got the stupid fucking smart little pants so you know, get that shit out of here. It gets me mad looking at these bitches, man. When you see these bitches just standing around like, your titties should be out of your shirt, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? Pull the titties up, bitch. Make me hella mad. Fucking sweaters and shit.
Right, and Six said he gonna make a meatloaf out of these bitches' heads.
Yeah. We're real sexy.
He called the bitch buttery buns, sugar pop.
you gotta show them you like them, man. They like, you know, boys like that type of shit being called pussy pop, butter
bun. Tell them Sticks.
Sweetie pie.
Tell them about fucking. Tell about fucking a bitch head up into the wall, man.
When you get them trying to land on their neck, when you start off smashing a bitch up against the wall, man, like in a corner, and you know, get a head about the bitch, right? It starts off just like routine, you're hitting it from the back, but you just keep pounding and thrusting as hard as you can, and before you know, this dumb hole could be laying on your neck and you're having like in a pile drive. and if you want the options, you can also flip around from you can flip around to your face and you can start spitting on her face while you're doing it.
Six gonna start off fucking the bitch, then put her in the Undertaker tombstone shit when he gets through with her.
You can't love a bitch, man. You can love her. You gotta choke them and spit in their mouths, man. It's the only way they learn from. You gotta fuck fuck him like whore each time. He got
sounds like a Swoop rap song over this motherfucker.
Choke him, spit in her mouth and shit, and just tell him and shit. One time, I just want to take a little pretty girl and tie her up and just sit down in front of her and tell her off and just pick out a little part. She was like, you see a stupid scar on your face? How many times you try to cover that up, you piece of dirt? And just tell her off. And maybe open her mouth like a King Kong and a T-Rex. You stretch it wide open and fuck her face until her gums leak.
This is why we need. This is why we need your show on Saturday.
Yeah, we need. I need. I know I need it. It keep me off the edge. It keep me from ready to jump off this motherfucking porch on somebody's head. Because it's been 100 degrees every fucking day for the last month and a half, man. This shit started rising.
He just makes you want to go out and just start choking females inside a car. It's like I'm a fucking a strangler or some shit. And start going out and finding dumb whores in their cars and just grabbing by their stupid necks and just choking them and see the makeup on their face turn blue as they just expire. I mean, I'm just saying, the heat makes you do crazy things. I think crazy things. I never done nothing like that. Anybody listening, here's that.
That's what's
oh,
up,
yeah,
man.
I also wanted to say Free Gangsta Crow and my homeboy
sure.
L. Miller and everybody else is locked down too, dog. They out here, they got a campaign to hire motherfuckers right now and shit. And, you know,
yeah.
So we can't never forget about them dudes, man, because I'm pretty sure if they could get on Blog Talk Radio, they'd be listening to that shit and they'd be repping, you know what I'm saying? So for Gangsta Crow and my homeboy L. Miller and everybody else homeboys that's locked down right now, and we ain't forgetting about y'all.
So, even until they're home, we still gonna be screaming. Gangsta Crow shit? Believe me, that fucking mixtape's gonna be a fucking monster. There's nothing about that.
Yeah, mixtape's coming real soon. That's gonna be the shit. We gotta, man, I don't know how we're gonna end this show. I guess, what do you wanna do, Swoop? You wanna just play music, or? It's up to you, man.
It's
you're the host.
It's up to you, man.
You're the host.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the host with the most.
The homie. Jack?
Ain't
the
homie Jack?
Six was taking over. Yeah, this is Jack. This is Jack in the box.
I like that title. Yeah.
The Jack
hey,
in the box.
Hey, because
real
lady was like, you was a dumb motherfucker, man.
You believe
that
shit?
I ain't get thrown out no
he
window.
Said in that, he said that shit in that G-Funk voice, too.
You
was a dumb
motherfucker, man. You need to fucking cut that out and isolate that and open up a track of that or something, man. That has to be for something.
Yeah, that's fucking
with
class.
Them whole 3-6, whole 3-6 cut. You's a dumb motherfucker, dumb motherfucker.
DJ Lazy Bone.
That no, the we got to put that insane laugh from Gangsta Nip on something.
Oh yeah, Gangsta Nip. Yeah, that was a classic interview though, Prez. Cause man, I was so hyped for that. Cause man, I'm serious. Like a dude in Memphis turned me on to Gangsta Nip and Klondike Cat and them, and like. I was more into Klondike Cat, and my homeboy was into Gangsta Nip. And the more I listened to it, I'm like, because, you know, I was living in Memphis at the time, so it's like, okay, 3-6 and I'm starting to do their shit. But, you know, they this way before Mr. Styles and all that shit, when they just had, like, Volume 1 through 16, and Pooch the Nigga had his own, The Devil's Playground and shit like that. But when I started hearing Nip sound like, you know, him and K. Reno, they almost, to me, sometimes be sounding alike, but they material and what they talk about different, so it's like, damn, I done talked to the whole SBC and fucking Nip. Motherfuckers like that I grew up on and never would have thought. Like, I always wondered what cats were still doing because, you know, if you don't live in their areas, you really don't hear that shit. Like, and here in St. Louis, if you ain't fucking fag-ass Nelly or fucking City Spud or whoever the next motherfucker that want to suck some nuts, then you ain't hearing shit but the same old bullshit on the fucking radio. They still play bullshit-ass Chingy songs and Jaquan shit. Like, these motherfuckers ain't made a song in fucking forever, and they don't show no love to the city. And when they show up to little clubs, the dudes be more groupies than the females. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the fuck away from me, man. That shit pisses me off, dog. That's why I can't wait till a motherfucker like CO, you too, Swoop. Your shit banging, dog, and When y'all come out, man, watch. I know it, man. I just know it. Motherfuckers ain't gonna be able to
too
sit.
Far.
They gonna be able to just sit on y'all shit too long, man. It's just a matter of time, man. And I feel like right now, everybody, if we sticking together and everybody doing the right shit, it's just the foundation. This shit gonna be so strong that it ain't gonna be no Burger King record ass motherfuckers, White Castle burger niggas, or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Won't nobody be able
White
to
Castle.
Even infiltrate that
home
shit.
The,
you know what I'm saying?
Home with a 25-cent slider.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't get Crave. We don't got Crave cases over here. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't fucking around.
Yeah, that's real shit, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely real shit. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, man, in honor of our podcast, I'm going to play our first, you know, bits and pieces of our first podcast, Six, with J.D. Walker, man. You guys got to hear. Now, if you guys want to know the true Chicago shit, you know this, Justin.
Yeah, I do. Born and raised, baby.
We're going to play this interview with J.D. Walker. It's going to take a few minutes for me to upload it and shit. But in the meantime, I'm going to play some music. Swoop, thank you for hosting the show.
Yes, sir.
Did a good job, my brother. Six, look forward to getting back on that podcast and come back Saturday night, man. With the what the fuck do you call it? Do you have a name for the show now, or is it still KYO?
Yeah, it's KFYOP, man. We like an old school radio station, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
what did you kill your own bitch?
Cincinnati. Yeah, what is it? What does it stand for?
What that for?
Kill your own bitch.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah, WKRP in Cincinnati. That shit go home. I think I played that song on one of my Wednesday shows. So yeah.
I remember
the
theme song.
Hey, but Brad, for real, send me some info on the podcast, man. Cause I love to get on that shit with y'all, man. For real.
Yeah. Our next interview, man, it's gonna be a hard one, man, because you know, it's with a lady who lost some children, or she lost one child, right, Swoop?
Yeah, one child, and her brother lost a child.
And her brother, man. So she lost a child and nephew or niece, this military base. So it's gonna be very hard, man.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, right. A lot of kids died over there, man. So. We're definitely gonna, you know, pay respects to her and her kid. But yeah, shit, the podcast, that's coming back too, man. We definitely, Jerry's working on that shit. He's got the audio, man, the audio dude right there. You guys need mixing mastering, man. Go to that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You need some verses,
yeah,
man. Hit up Mizzle, hit up Swoop, hit up fucking J Mac over here, Seal the Bad Black. God damn, many of you motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, we're going to take
that,
it over, dog.
What's up with that, Jay? You actually recorded an album? I know you said that
it ain't even like an official album because I only got like four tracks. Like, I got like 16 tracks from this guy, but I don't want to use all his shit and have my shit just all sounding the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I figured, fuck, I just do three or four. But I got a gang of funny ass skits and shit too. I fuck around, and start selling them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I like concept albums too. You know what I mean? Like, remember when the album used to be like a movie and shit?
Yeah.
Like each song led into something. Like I want to kind of get into some shit like that where a motherfucker actually sometimes want to hear certain skits over certain songs. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, you can't hear the song without hearing the skit. This motherfucker riding up the street in that old raggedy-ass Mustang. See, boy, when y'all come to St. Louis, boy, you're going to see some country-ass shit when y'all get here.
Yeah, definitely.
You point me in the direction of, like, all the dirty-ass whores and some barbecue.
Oh, shit. Well, come on, Six. I'm telling you, like, I went out Saturday night. All I did was laugh all night. You would have had a few days out with these bitches.
You probably have all over there that know at BB's. I mean, Bed Bath BBS. FS Full
Services,
we in, man.
It's a PXE.
Yeah, like my dirty porn started
killing
hoes. I don't
ride
no condom, man. Let me know. You know, we
gonna
impregnate some dirty hoes and disappear.
Yeah, hey, this is like he was talking about Henry Hill. He just passed away. Rest in peace to Henry Hill.
Yeah,
but the last place he got arrested was right over here on the east side. He was harassing prostitutes. He had something going on at Larry Flint's Hustlers Club. And was harassing prostitutes, and he was still getting locked up to the end of time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was still getting. I mean, he was a meth addict. He was a fucking. I saw his when I interviewed him. They sent me his documentary, man. And he left witness protection several times. And the biggest question I asked him was, how accurate was the movie to your life? He says it was like 99%. he said that he had to do what he had to do because they were going to kill his mother or his kids and his wife and all this and that. And so he fucking, I guess he did what he did, and, you know, he on the run the rest of his life. And he said people were always trying to kill him, the young mafia guys, because they knew if they got the big snitch, Henry Hill, they would make a name for themselves in the ranks of the mafia. So he had to constantly watch out for them motherfuckers too. So that's what you get for fucking around in that life, man. You know,
yeah.
And he paid for it to the end. So, you know, like you
but
said,
he was a rider all the way to the end. He was over on the east side harassing prostitutes, like getting services and not paying them bitches, like on some real gangster shit. Like, I ain't giving you bitches nothing.
That's what's up.
And he was old and wrinkled as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I always wanted to try the motherfucking coffee too. Last I heard,
this
was that
wrinkled as fuck.
Oh, them brothers.
That motherfucker was looking like California Raised in Part 7.
That man was pumping them over as Duff Cannon's right into them blood.
What was crazy?
Had holes coming out of them.
What was crazy is his publicist was this dude who apparently knew Nicky Scarfo, right?
Damn.
And I'm talking to him, the real Nicky Scarfo. And this guy's telling me a story that's even crazier than Henry's. He's talking about being a kid, witnessing all kinds of shit Nicky Scarfo was doing. And then he started, I'm not saying too much, but he started telling me some crazy shit about somebody doing some shit. I'm thinking, why the fuck are you telling me? And for like a week, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have the fucking Lufthansa crime family out my goddamn front door and the fucking the Gambinos and whoever the fuck
right.
else. You know, it's like, yeah, I didn't ask for this. I just wanted to interview you, motherfucker. I tried interviewing the serial killer, man, Richard Ramirez. You know what I'm saying?
Really? That's my favorite. That's my favorite serial killer.
Yeah, I sent him a letter. I asked to interview him, and he wrote me back. But the letter was just about like stupid shit. It was just about like what movies do you like? And I was gonna say I like that new movie Danny Trejo put out at the time called The Night Stalker.
But oh yeah, he was about to kill. Fred, he was plotting to kill your motherfucking ass is what he was.
He wanted to kill you and take you in your life, man. He just wanted to know what you like so he can become you in the end.
Yeah, he was just talking pretty much, he was just talking about, like, you know, movies he liked and music he liked. And, yeah, like, he was trying to be friends. And then at the end, he's like, send me stamps.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
prison
I need
lingo.
Stamps.
Yep.
And I definitely, I really wanted that interview. And but you know, it never happened. I wrote to George Young from the movie Blow, and he just sent me an autographed picture. He thought I was a fan. I sent him a letter to be interviewed, and he sent me an autographed picture. So I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. I'm getting letters from like the most notorious serial killers and the biggest coke dealers, and you know.
Actually, got a song that.
But you did have a real Rick Ross on there too, though. The real Rick Ross, so.
Yeah, you guys were a part
of
it.
Real friends, you a legend, dog. Whether you a humble ass dude, you don't like to take accolades and shit, but for real, dog, like, fuck, man. You know what I'm saying? When real motherfuckers see you, they gonna salute you, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, the shit you do, you don't have to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how your blessings gonna come, bro. And when they do, shit.
See,
the motherfuckers that ain't on the team for
what?
Real. Fuck,
what's
dope on their back and tell them it's raining.
Saying is people recognize that you're humble too. Like if I called if I called up Rick Ross and was like, let me get an interview, that fool would probably just hang up on my ass.
he'd be like, jump out the window, Jack. You know, but
sometimes people might think you're just trying to infiltrate and make them look funny or something, but like for real prayers, man, like
exactly.
The murder, like somebody was on the show the other night and said in jail, Murder Dog was the hottest magazine for real. We didn't give a fuck. We already had Ben stop fucking with the source anyway. And XXL was trying to come up with Murder Dog always had the cats that was from your neighborhood that was making noise. Like, you could actually see 3-6 Mafia in a magazine. When I'm leaving out of Memphis, going back to Chicago, telling people about them, did nobody want to hear that shit? Did nobody want to hear Master P and shit? But then once Ghetto Dope came out, I go back to Chicago, everybody got on T-shirts and shit like, oh, I've been listening. You ain't been listening to shit.
Yeah.
You even listen to a motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying? Because when I came up here, you motherfuckers made me take my CDs out of the motherfucking CD player. But like the fucking Ghetto Mafia and shit, like, motherfuckers don't even remember old school group Pastor Troy and them and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the Hard Boys.
Get
them off you.
Like that's what I always loved about Murder Dog, because you can always find the cats that, you know, out, that you can really see, you can really touch them. You could, you know, they weren't on that. You know, everybody be, look, that's the thing about the hip hop game. Like, everybody got to be macho or something. You got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be no square ass motherfucker, but, like, you can actually see the cats that you see riding. Like, when A-Ball and MJG, before they just really, really blew up, I remember them riding down the street. And somebody like, that's A-Ball right there. That's the only person I ever seen in my life that I kind of got starstruck with. And I'm from Chicago, so I done been to Bulls games and waited at the game and got Shaq's autograph. We played Kevin Garnett when he was a senior in high school, and they smashed us by 50 points. Him and really Ronnie Fields was better than Kevin Garnett, if you ask me, but that's a whole nother story. But
my problem,
know what I'm saying? Like,
I envy.
But when
you,
I seen
never...
A-Ball, and then get my mouth got quiet as fuck, like, because it's the Fat Mac right here, and he handing blunts out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so for me to get on the show and you had him on there and you let me come on and ask him something, man, I salute you for that shit, dog, because fucking legends,
dog. That's another thing I wanted to do with the show, the concept of it. You know, with the panel, you know what I'm saying? You guys are regulars of the panel. I want to have my brothers get a chance to do what I do, man, and talk to these fuckers. Because, you know, a lot of you guys, you know, like Swoop, you know, he's done songs with a lot of legendary people like San Quinn and X-Rated and shit. But a lot of cats, man, like yourself, like you said, you saw 8-Ball, you don't get to talk to these dudes. And it made me feel good to be able to be like, all right, man, ask this motherfucker a question, and that's the business, you know what I'm saying? I've done enough of this shit. I could sit back and let you guys, you know what I'm saying, do some of it, except when I get somebody on there that I never, like Nip, you know, I had to hog that. I mean, Jesus Christ, man, the way to talk to that fool. All the way up to the interview, I was nervous because when I talked to him, he was very quiet. He didn't talk much, and but during the interview, it's like the psych came out. You know what I mean?
You was like that. You was kind of like that with Flesh and Bone, too. Like, you ain't know how this motherfucker going to really be on it. Because Flesh known for just...
He was
this
humble.
Motherfucker
he
might
was
pull up in
arrogant.
Front of your house with an AK or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he was a little arrogant, but he was definitely humble. But if you guys want to stick around, man, I'm going to play about 8 minutes of this interview that me and Six did with J.D. Walker, which neither of us got a word in edgewise. if you know J.D. Walker, man, this motherfucker, he needs to be the president of the motherfucking hood.
He needs and he could,
be
and he could be though.
He
like
could
J.D.
be.
Walker name still hold a lot of weight when you go to Chicago though. I will say that.
Definitely, definitely.
But CO finna be the next one.
Him and CO, man, they came up together in the streets for real and this guy, J.D. Walker, 95, him and CO both were on the verge of blowing up big. And you know what I'm saying? Here's a little bit of J.D. Walker's story. If you want to hear the whole interview, you know, go to ugsforlife.com/podcast. Here you go.
SD program, your mind, with the Underground Podcast.
I'm a real street nigga, protected and come from real gangsta-ass niggas across the world. And a motherfucker will have to shoot me upside the head, and that's how you got to silence me, knock me off. That's how you got to do, like you did Martin Luther King, like a motherfucker did Malcolm X, and a lot of the great motherfuckers. You got to knock me off, because ain't no way through media and all that other kind of shit you can silence me, because, boy, I done raised too many motherfuckers. It's like Pac say, motherfuckers, real niggas don't die, motherfuckers multiply. I done instilled this real shit in too many motherfuckers. It's motherfuckers that's on, that's been on, that got on, that I know had a lot to do with them getting their positions. Whether they give me props or admit it or not, it don't make me no difference whether a motherfucker give me my props or not. I know it, and the real niggas I fuck with know who JD been behind and who JD didn't influence. So that's how I feel about that, man. That's the only way they can silence me. I'm going to keep it real 100. And those that believe and live that kind of life, that's how they going to handle it. They going to take it just like that. Like, man, we living our life like, dude, man, dude wasn't the mother put his life on the line. He just wasn't talking this shit. Mother life on the line. Anything I say to y'all behind closed doors or in this interview, I can say it to the world. I can say it on the mic. I can say it anytime. Y'all heard me and you heard my music. I speak what's real. I am like, I'm like the real news in my hood. I'm like the real news. When I popped that shit, I didn't sugarcoat it. I didn't go in the editing room and put this shit together and say, put it out like this. I lied, broadcast lied. And we got into it with motherfuckers. And shit, I might have put the words together and popped that shit exactly how I would. That's exactly how it is. You know, ain't no other way to do it, man. And believe it, a lot of motherfuckers be saying, that's got a lot to do with why JD, you probably ain't got on. And that might have had a lot to do with why my mother ain't got on, because at them times when I was putting my music out, they were telling you, I would go to radio stations and a lot of places, mother said, man, Jody wasn't ready for you. You know, the shit you was on, and the shit you was saying, man, the media was saying, man, JD, we can't push that, we can't push. Now I see them saying all kind of motherfuckers, bitches, hoes, and sluts. I wasn't even so graphic with my shit. It was just my passion. Y'all know how I speak with my passion. My passion was so serious that the motherfuckers I was around, you know, they were saying, damn, we can't push it out because it's not that he talking, you know, so graphic. It's his passion. People can tell he's serious.
Yeah.
They don't like it when you get loud. They don't like loud motherfuckers. They want you to be quiet and do what they say.
They want you to be quiet, man. I really want to ask you this, JD. One of my favorite songs that you ever recorded was "Kill the Popos," and you know I want to let this you know be known. And I know you'll agree with me here. You know what I'm saying? Not all cops are bad. You know what I'm saying? But a high majority of them are on some real evil, crooked shit, man. What was behind you in that song, man? Could you explain it to people?
Oh, man. What behind that song is basically what you just said out your mouth, man. You know, come on. I mean, it's to me, it's really self-explanatory. I mean, you know, every motherfucker know that every cop ain't no bogus-ass cop. You know, everybody know that, but the way I popped it and the way I kicked that shit, the motherfuckers who is, they knew that shit was for them. You know what I'm saying? They knew that shit was for them, just like when I be rapping and talking about pussy motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? The pussy motherfuckers feel it. You know what I'm saying? They tails get tucked between their ass and they get scared because they know they got a bulls out on their head like, damn, you talking about me? Just like the pussy ass popos, they felt the same motherfucking way, like, man, this pussy motherfucker talking about a you know what I'm saying? But the difference between me and other motherfuckers is I ain't scared to die, nigga. I mean, I got this one God I believe in. I pray to him every day. You motherfuckers could never do to me what he could do to me. So I ain't scared to die about nothing I'm talking about. So yeah, I put that song out, believe it or not, the big-ass riot up in Tennessee. We was down in Tennessee, me and my cousin them years ago when I put that out. And I was promoting that EP, and the niggas, we started bumping in the cars and motherfuckers on the street. Matter of fact, we was in, damn, I wish my cousin Nick was on this phone. We was in the same town what's the dude's name? Oh, come on, man. Young Buck, the same town he's from?
Nashville.
We was right in that little town. It wasn't Nashville, it was a small little town outside there. We was right in that town. They took my cousin to jail, and they took a couple of the people outside the jail that was around it because I got to play Killer Popo, and so many motherfuckers came outside, got to going crazy, like, damn, who the fuck is this, who the fuck is this? Then the police pulled up, and I incited a riot because the police got to fucking with us because we from out of town, searching our car, shit, that the people on the street was like, why y'all fucking with them? Fuck the police, woo, and I actually was playing the song, so they ended up taking some motherfuckers to jail and all that shit about it, but, see, that's just real shit, though. You know, I didn't go there trying to cause bullshit. It's just that, man, throughout years, motherfuckers is fed up with, you know, motherfuckers fed up with bogus-ass cops, man. Come on, man. I mean, the cops, believe it or not, the cops can't even get mad about how the people feel about the bogus-ass police for the simple fact, man, most of the highest authority on these streets supposed to be the police, man, and motherfuckers really expect police.
to serve and protect, man. We really expect this shit, man. That's how order, just like I am, I'm in the mob, my organization, you know what I'm saying? You know, you always got bogus motherfuckers in all organizations, but at the same time, in my organization, any motherfucker that know me will tell you, dude wasn't a bogus motherfucker. Do what the motherfucker in their organization standing by law. And I ain't, that means I don't care what mob or organization you in, you can be the police. I'm in the motherfucker that stood by the law. And if y'all supposed to serve and protect, them the only motherfuckers I honor. I meet police and speak, and I, hey, how you doing, all this and that. Give them respect that I get to any motherfucker that I meet on the street. They not get no extra respect. They just don't get regular. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to give a regular respect. I give a regular motherfucker. But if they acting like they supposed to get extra respect, or if they acting like a motherfucker supposed to bow his head, or act like he a super motherfucker because he got a gun on his side, I'm not doing that. And then just because you got a gun on your side, you finna try to be rough and manhandle a motherfucker? No, motherfucker, I'm finna fight you and whoop your ass just to show you your gun don't fucking scare me. You know, we them type motherfuckers. You know, and then police know the difference. They know the difference of, they know that, I swear to God, man, police used to fuck with me so much, man. I used to just be quiet and have a look in my eye and look at them in their face, boy. The police used to be able to look at me and say, oh, I could tell what type of motherfucker you is. Like, just off the look I got. Because if I can't do what I'm feeling in my heart, I ain't gonna even say nothing. But, boy, I'm that same motherfucker. I'll be sitting right behind my motherfucking house and waiting on one of you motherfuckers to get past, because we all look at y'all like y'all all the same motherfuckers. We'll wait for one of you motherfuckers to get past and knock your shit back, and y'all ain't never going to figure out who the fuck did that shit. Yeah, y'all might get burned the neighborhoods up and the hoods get hot, but guess what? Y'all ain't going to figure out who it is. And then once I do that shit, I'm one of them niggas who motherfuckers in the hood look up to. It's going to be a trickle-down effect. It's going to be another motherfucker saying, man, dude, them down the block, man, Jay, them down the block, man, got fed up and knocked one of them motherfuckers. Guess what? We finna go in the gangway and lap on one of them pussy motherfuckers too. Bam, we did that shit too. It's going to trickle on down. It's going to be end up 10 or 15 of y'all getting fucked up just because y'all was fucking with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, that's how that shit go, man. So, you know, that Killer Poe song was just real shit. Release it from a nigga hard, you know. Fuck bogus-ass police, man. You're not getting no respect ever.
Fuck them.
And that's all that was about, man.
Fuck bogus-ass politicians, congressmen, senators, anybody that's on any kind of negative shit that hurts the community or hurts people, man, they're on some bogus shit, man. It's real talk, J.D.
Yeah, motherfuck all them.
Shit, we're back. That's the homie J.D. Walker, man. Me and Six, as you see, we couldn't get no words in edgewise. The whole fucking interview was like that, man. I'm telling you guys, go to ugsforlife.com/podcast. Listen to the J.D. Walker podcast. That was fucking amazing. You know what I'm saying? Definitely a fucking legend right there, man. Another unsung legend needs to be fucking heard. You know what I'm saying? And, we're going to play, man. The homie Swoop just sent me a brand new song off of his album, Ride Till I Die, man. This is the first time anybody's hearing it anywhere right here. You know what I'm saying? It's called Bad Examples. We're going to get that on here in a minute. I wanted to thank Swoop for, hosting the show. He was always asking me, man, I want to interview you. And we tried a couple times. We got on the conference line just fucking around and fools who fucked up. I'm too fucked up, man. We couldn't. I remember one time we did an interview for like a fucking an hour or some shit. I interviewed him. He interviewed me. It just turned a big conversation, man. Just two dudes clowning. You know, so I don't even think questions were asked. You know what I'm saying? So, man, much love to the homie Swoop. It's a real motherfucker right there, man. Six, man, you already know what the fuck it is, man. 10 years strong, man. A lot of the shit that I've done has parallel with Six, man. Like, a lot of the, like, for example, the X-rated cover he did, I was fortunate to review that. When we brought out the Murder Master Music Show, Six was there. He was doing all the graphics. Six, you know, that's why, man, when this UGS came along, was a no-brainer to bring him in as one of the generals, man. That's one of the OGs in this goddamn movement. And you see, man, right as soon as a motherfucker gets out of line, man, he's usually one of the first, if not the first, to get all over that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And let him know what the business is, man. That's my brother right there. The Bad Black, that's definitely my brother, man. Mac Mizzle, that's the weed of cloth, man. That motherfucker coming down the chimney with a sack of Indo for the boys and girls this year. So be looking out for Mac Mizzle, Mac J, you know what I'm saying? Just hearing you telling me about seeing 8-Ball and being able to talk to him, man, that makes this show worth it. And I promise y'all, man, the show ain't going to be off the air very long. Going to get it back as soon as I can. Other than that, shit, Matthew, gotta thank Matthew, man, everybody down with the movement, man, everybody, and speaking to you, Matthew, man, anybody, you know what I'm saying, tell about the show, they wanna talk to me directly, man, give them my number, dude, I'll help you explain this shit to them, you know what I'm saying, because we definitely gotta look out for each other, and, man, this is it right here, this is a Swoop, Bad Example. I'll be back, Murder Master Music Show, episode 25. Hold up. Haven't had any technical difficulties in a while, so I wanted to have some. No, in the real, this is the first time I'm even hearing this song, so if it's bullshit, it's all Swoop's fault.
Broke belly, getting by, you're the same no matter what your status. Please let me know your kids. with the questions they keep asking. Why you hate us, mama? Daddy, why are we struggling? I know it's hard and easy to ignore reply with nothing. Songs gotta change your ways. Your kids reflect you, they study you every day. And no matter how you acting, they gon' follow your lead. Even if you deprive them and neglecting my needs. I got cousins that now sniff dozens of white little lies, cause they mother taught them nothing, now they dusted off game. Things fall so quick, right before your eyes. I realize I got lucky, cause even I should be where they at, dead, higher in the fed. Inspecting parents, please take a second and listen, cause
I'm sick of people not doing what they're supposed to. No money for these rides, but they still chose to. Bring them up, pip them out like West Coast showed and told them to. Let your ass go, cause the man lays his feet under you. On his add-ons, sitting back, they're setting these bad examples. Teaching these kids that it's all about your handles, that it's okay to gamble. You're not the way to fuck and take some responsibility. People not doing what they're supposed to. No money for these rides, but they still chose to. Bring them up, pip them out like West Coast showed and told them to. Now your ass broke as a man lays his feet under you. And a speakerphone is add-ons, sitting back, they're setting these bad examples. Teaching these kids that it's all about your handles, that it's okay to gamble. You're not going to waste the fucking need some responsibility.
That's what's up right there, man. That's an exclusive, man, off the upcoming Ride Till I Die album. Swoop's got a gang of albums and projects coming out. I'm a Murderer coming out. Everybody go to ugsforlife.com. I'm definitely going to get off into one of my favorite CO tracks. This one's called My Cry. This shit's a fucking beast of a track. It's from like 04. It was featured on EC Illa Shy Banging project. It came out in like 05, I forget the name of it. But this shit's fucking crazy, man. When you listen to this song, any A&R, I'm going to challenge you fucks, listen to this goddamn song I'm about to play and give you one fucking reason why this man shouldn't have a deal. And then after that, go fuck your gay lover in the fag hole or your dumb mother in the fucking shit box. I don't give a fuck. This is the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show. I love y'all, man. Every one of you motherfuckers that support this UGS movement, nothing but love and respect. Let's keep doing this shit. 2012, Pink Slime no more. You know what I'm saying? Let's get this shit, man. This shit's ours, man. It's yours, man. It belongs to you guys. You guys have been putting in a lot of work for many years. Let's get it.
Yes. The motherfuckers thought I was crazy for naming this song My Cry.
That's right.
But I don't give a fuck, bitch, cause this ain't that type of song. I'll diss my pussy ass daddy on this motherfucking song. I'll diss all you bitches.
Hey,
I don't give a fuck, man, cause things ain't the same.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah. Oh, God.
the place where they drop others. Stupid ass cops trying to pop brothers. I swear to God, I hate them motherfuckers. Me and my daddy don't talk no more. My granny's so sick and can't walk no more.
Get stopped with a G on a 233.
It ain't finna get caught no more with a Glock shit. Then a cop shit. Getting charged, listening to pop shit. I got a rap so I'm itching to pop shit. Y'all motherfuckers ain't finna stop shit. Huh. Gun clip keeping extra. Dear mom hit me with a lecture. He said a change won't come at the great Sam Cooke, but I'm dealing with too much pressure. You would never ever find a man Mozilla. My background states that I'm a drug dealer. Beat on my chest like a fucking gorilla. Like it or not, I'm a son of a killer.
Motherfuckers hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Everything's the fucking board's frozen. I can't even end the show. So hey everybody, you get a technical occurrence here.
Hey, you know what this is documented, man. You get money or you get another month over to your account.
Yeah, I need another month just for this.
Fuck that, it's time to complain. Blog Talk Radio, y'all on the month.
Definitely, definitely. Shit, man, you got anybody you want to hear before we jet out of here, man?
I don't really give a fuck, man. Play some. I don't play whatever you want, man. You want to I'm just kicking back. I don't know.
I'll play some Sutter Kane, man, or some shit like that, I guess. Shit, man. We'll play some sinister shit, man. Let's get this fucking. I don't know. Fuck it. Here we go. Let's see if it even plays. I don't know.
Watch
Pink Slime, fuck you and your knockout music. I'll knock you out, faggot.
Fucking homo.
Fucking dumb retard. You put out the goddamn map, and this stupid fuck still doesn't say shit. You put out the
it's
map.
It's all good, man. Shouts out to everybody who had it, because I apparently did sell something. Shouts out to everybody who bought that shit. Look
anybody who bought a goddamn CD with a fucking dick and balls drawn on the back. They don't even know it. You dumb motherfuckers. All right, man, we're out of this, bitch. I guess we'll play some rapping ass Rob. No,
oh, yeah, that's the way we're doing right there.
No, nah, man, we ain't got no rapping ass Rob. I think we played that last time. Fuck it. I don't know, man. Here, Sutter Kane. Fuck it. Let's kill people.
There you go.
Yeah. You cunt, what am I? A dog?